Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 280 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. A little bit different. We're going to be talking with some friends. Basically from the TBTL universe and Stack of Dimes universe, and I guess Air Raid universe as well, about the new movie Star Wars The Force Awakens this week. I had the opportunity to see it, last week on, I believe it was Thursday, opening night, there at Thornton Place. I was sick as a dog and just went anyway, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But first, I'd like to bring on our two guests for the first part of the show. Camaro Kev or Kevin Dodrell. Which do you prefer?
I don't care at this point.
You don't care?
I don't care at this point. Camaro Kev's fine. Kevin's fine. Thunder's fine.
Thunder?
Like seven different... That's fine. Camaro Kev, how are you?
Good!
Roden, how are you, sir?
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming over, man.
Excited.
Yeah. And we also have another guy that we went and saw the movie with. Newman is joining us. This is the first time you've been on Air Raid, right?
Head
a little bit closer to your face.
I think it is.
Thank you.
The first time.
Yeah, this may be popping my cherry, buddy. What a pleasure. What a pleasure.
An absolute pleasure.
Oh,
right?
God.
You're battling some sort of illness as well there.
Amongst other demons, yes, I am. I have a cold, and let's not get into that. Let's not go down that dark path.
I just want to explain why you sound like Jeff Spicoli right now. It's not because you just did seven bong hits. It's because you're all plugged up. So,
do you need a pizza while we're recording this, or is that going to be?
I've got one of those at home actually already.
Just waiting for you.
Yeah, CPK, barbecue style.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Sounds great,
night,
man.
You got a whole night planned.
After being a big-time radio star, I'm going to go home and get into that rotten stuff.
So we all saw this. We all saw this fantastic flick. Well, I'll say it's fantastic. I'm just going to come right out of the gate. I thought it was fantastic. We all saw it on Thursday night, opening night. You guys were a little bit like tepid on whether or not you were going to come on opening night.
I don't like that. I don't remember the last time I've seen a movie opening night. I don't like that atmosphere. I don't like people dressing up. I don't want to be... I don't like any of that. I just like to be able to be comfortable, have a couple of seats between me when I'm in there, and not really have to sweat going in and trying to find a seat
right.
And all that stuff.
And it did become that.
Well...
A little bit.
It did, but we went in going, you know, there's tickets available. You're going to be there. You're going to get there pretty early, or your friends
right,
were.
Right.
And so we figured they could probably help us out and save us a seat. So that's kind of why we went through with it.
Yeah, we actually had a bigger group. We were there with, Kevin Sir of Timber Music Festival, Mark Baumgarten of Seattle Weekly, and then some other yahoos joined us. So we had about a group of like eight people.
And I didn't want to try to... not hear plot points, you know, go a week and try to avoid Facebook and avoid Twitter. I just didn't want to do that. And I was like, you know what? I'll brave it.
Yeah.
And it all worked out. I was happy I did.
There's going to be some spoilers during this episode, by the way. We should probably say that at the top of the show that we're probably going to be talking. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking about the movie. So
the longer you play that game, it's your fault at that point, right?
Yeah,
you can't
be pissed. You can't be pissed if it's gone long enough, like a week or something like that.
Yeah.
You cannot be pissed off at people who are talking about the movie, right?
I would say I think so
on social media and
yeah.
stuff. Although I will say, before we went to the movie that night on Thursday, I saw a post. I just glanced at something because, you know, Star Wars was everywhere in my Facebook feed, and I just glanced at something. It was like a sponsored ad, and some jack off who had seen the movie already, like, just basically blatantly posted one of the big reveals in the movie in the comments section, and it showed up right on my feed. I didn't even know the guy, and it just showed up on the feed, and it was the fact that Kylo Ren is the here comes the spoiler, folks.
Yeah, spoiler.
Kylo Ren is the son of Han Solo and Princess Leia.
Do you think that that was the biggest reveal in the movie?
No, it didn't seem like it.
Do you think that, another spoiler here, right off the jump here, now just turn this off because this is going to... Solo, eating it.
Oh, yeah. That was Han Solo dying?
That was the biggest.
Should we start from the beginning? We're jumping right into the movie.
Everybody's already dead at this point. Well, that was great, guys. What a great movie.
We're not going to go plot point by plot point, right?
No, not really. I wanted to get your guys' read on it because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Later in the show, we're going to be talking with Andrew Walsh and Doormat of the TBTL podcast, and he's, you know, not a huge fanboy of the show, but
this thing, you made it sound like he's one of these guys that just completely hates it.
Well, see, that's what I totally thought, but we're...
I kind of like it, actually. I'm kind of into it.
So, but anyway, we have a good conversation with him in the second half of the show. But, so what were you guys' first feelings about the film after walking out of the theater?
I really liked it. I really liked it, and it has since grown on me. Thinking about it in retrospect, I think it's gotten even better.
Just thinking about all the stuff that happened.
Yeah, it's a solid movie. Good pacing. Little nod to the original. I think there's enough there for the original fans to have something new, and then the new cast. I think they're off to a great start with that for the new generation. So I just think it's a solid film.
And you're a hard guy to please too, Newman, with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe, I guess. I just think movies is hard. Everybody's so different. But I would say for this, unless you're going into it with a closed mind, I think you're going to walk out pretty happy. I'm not going to say it's going to shock you and blow you away necessarily, but it's a really strong movie.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I would agree. I was almost going to say, I'm just going to take my headphones off right now because he just summed it up. Because it was like I walked out and I was like, God, that was very solid. And then as the days went on, I thought about certain things.
Yeah.
And it was well done, man. J.J. Abrams, I think he knows what kind of points to hit and pacing, like you were saying. And he's a solid filmmaker. I would almost say he's a little bit like Ron Howard, and I was reading an interview with Ron Howard, because Ron Howard, to me, everyone thinks of him as being very vanilla and not really making any important movies, but then when you go through the list of Ron Howard movies, you realize just how many of his movies are enjoyable and watchable.
Yeah.
They might not be like mind-blowing or groundbreaking, and I think for me, J.J. Abrams is kind of like that, right? Like, the original Star Trek, I wasn't a Star Trek guy.
No, me neither.
And I know a lot of people don't like his reboots, especially the second one. But I am not, I mean, totally not a Star Trek guy. And I went in and that first Star Trek was solid. It was like, you know, just, again, good pacing, good action, well shot, well done, funny in the right moments. And this was kind of the same way with this. I think also the prequels that were done, they were just so disappointing.
So bad.
That going into this, you're thinking like...
You couldn't get worse.
You couldn't get worse, but then you were also thinking like, well, maybe it's just such a big, iconic franchise that no one's ever going to get it right. And he just hit the right moment with those three and that was it. But no, I think this...
Well, it's almost the same storyline. As basically, and this is what I was thinking, is that it's almost the same storyline as like Empire and New Hope kind of rolled into one.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate using the term reboot. I hate that now, but...
Yeah.
But it really does...
It is a bit of a reboot.
Yeah, it has some reboot elements, but, you know, the original story of of the original Star Wars is not that original.
No, no.
So
it's not.
I mean,
that's another thing I was thinking, because you, I, and Tuna were talking about it at your house earlier today, and one thing hit me is like, it's not the most involved story.
No,
ever.
No, it's
right?
Very simple.
We hold it up in our minds because we saw it in our childhoods.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was so far beyond anything that anybody had ever seen. That's why it kind of has staying power, right? The special effects were such that, you know, it really sticks with you. The world was so, like, it just seemed so lived in. That really sticks with you. You can go back and watch those original movies and it still has that feel to it, you know, that the world is real.
Yeah.
And J.J. Abrams did a great job with that, I think. He did a great job with, like, the planet Jakku, right?
Yeah.
Where what's the girl's name?
Was it Ren?
Ren. Or Rey.
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 Emma Rey or something.
Finn, Rey.
Finn, Rey.
And
BB-8.
And BB-8, and then Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
I always keep Ren and Rey. I keep mixing
and
them.
And then who's the pilot? What's the pilot's name again?
Oh, Jesus. Shit.
You're really...
Philip?
You're really pushing it there. I can't remember. We got to turn in our Star Wars cards
come,
now.
Frankie.
Yeah, who is it? That's too bad.
Poe. His name is Poe.
Yeah, Poe the pilot.
So, nice. I mean, the characters seemed well-rounded. Some of the things about Finn, the stormtrooper who turns good, bugged me a little bit. Like,
yeah.
His character wasn't really... It was, like, there was a lot of, like, comedic effect that they were going with that character. He seems like he's more of like the Han Solo takeover a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, really, I would agree with you. Like, I think they did a good job with all the new characters they introduced. I'll say this. I think
it went a little bit overboard for me with the comedy.
Yeah, I don't know if that guy worked that well as
Rey.
Jesus.
Ray and yeah. And Poe. Poe worked really great.
Yeah, but Poe's not in it all that much too, but
no.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
But you could they did a good job with like, okay, this guy's a badass and you don't really, you know what I mean? Like I think there's going to be more to him later on in the series.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah. I thought their chemistry was pretty good. Finn and Ray and Poe.
Yeah.
I liked all the characters, and back to your point, Ron, about the story. I think that's the beauty of this. He just said, screw it. We're not going to spend a lot of time with the story. The story's super simple. Let's actually have pretty good character development, decent, just a story behind it, but develop all the characters, make them interesting, obviously integrate the old with the new, set this up for something pretty good. I think they did exactly
that. Yeah,
because
at the heart of Star Wars, it's basically a sci-fi action movie.
Yeah.
That's all you're getting.
Right.
You're not getting something that's like, you know, life-changing.
Right.
And it's not supposed to be an Oscar-winning performance about, a young boy dying or something like that, you know?
It was always about the characters and their interactions between each other. And following, basically, we've got to stop the bad guy along the way. You're going to enjoy it following it with us.
Yeah, there's not a lot of nuance in something like this, right? And there shouldn't be, because it's the dark side versus the light side, right? And that's it. Some stuff happens in between, but that's the gist of the movie.
I like also that the bad guy, or the guy that supposedly kind of replaces Darth Vader.
Right, Kylo Ren.
Yeah, it's just kind of a fanboy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone that I worked with, he hadn't seen it yet, and he was like, he's like, I don't know that guy that plays the bad guy, the new Darth Vader type character.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the dude from Girls.
He's
like, I just can't envision that guy being scary at all.
And he wasn't. I mean, he was ruthless.
Good. Yeah.
In the movie, I did not like, this is one thing about the character, I did not like how they made his voice sound in the mask.
I liked it.
Really?
You thought it worked for you?
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that is when I would see the previews and the trailers, I was like, I don't know if I can get down with that. But in the movie itself, I was like, oh, it totally worked for me.
It started
totally
working like halfway through the movie for me, but it kind of bugged me. It didn't sound right to me. It almost sounded like they had ADR'd. Well, they have to ADR that stuff in. But it almost sounded like the Batman movie with...
Bane?
With Bane.
I love
a
that.
A little bit. Where it's like Bane. There's a little bit of echo in there because it wasn't done perfectly.
Yeah.
You know? And so it just kind of sounded a little bit too tinny for me. That's kind of nitpicky.
I do like when he took his mask off and talked. You could totally tell that it was his voice that they were using.
Sure.
Same
for
with
sure.
Bane. Like, you know, whereas in the original Star Wars, it's in return when they take the mask off, you're like, really? That was
that's not James Earl, goddamn it.
It is kind of weird. I just watched Return before.
Uh-huh.
Actually, last night with my wife hadn't seen it before, all the way through, so we watched it.
Well, we started a few.
Yeah, we started a little bit of it before we went to see The Force Awakens. For me, I wanted to kind of see, like, okay, how this works, watching one and then going and seeing the new one and seeing if it fits in or whatever. But it is kind of shocking when you pull the mask off of Vader. You know it's James Earl Jones' voice, and it's just this shriveled up old white dude.
With pale, a bunch of scars on him and stuff.
Yeah.
Acne problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's get into the story of it a little bit. I mean, there's not much to tell on that. We run into Han Solo early on.
I was going to say, and to me, when we run into him, I was already enough involved with the new characters they created that when they came on, I was like, oh, yeah, there's going to be older characters in here.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually pretty stoked because you can tell when it's happening.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Of course.
They get the Millennium Falcon. They steal the Millennium Falcon from a traitor or something.
They don't realize what ship it is.
Yeah, they have no idea what it is. They think it's a junky old freighter. And then they get pulled in to a freighter in space. And I was like, I knew it.
Well, yeah, you knew
it. I was like, this is Han Solo's new ship.
Because they kind of make it like, okay, it's the bad guy. What's their name again?
Whoever the general is.
It's not the Empire anymore. It's
the First Order.
The New Order.
First Order.
Yeah.
So you think it's the First Order that's picking up the Millennium
Falcon.
Well,
they try to make you think
that. They try to sell that. Yeah.
It's funny you bring that up. That was kind of a problem for me in the movie, is that I kind of saw a lot of what was coming.
But, I mean, again, isn't that kind of Star Wars?
A little bit. I mean, you got to think back, like, you know, I was a child when I saw it.
Right?
So,
like,
you know, I guess so.
You kind of see everything coming, but you don't mind it because it's, again, it's so well done and the characters are so good.
Yeah, but I mean, would you say when you find out that Luke and Leia are sisters or sister and brother, or that Darth Vader is their father,
that
comes straight out of the blue. Like, there's no hinting at any of that.
Sure.
You find out that Kylo Ren is Han and Leia's son pretty early on, because you can kind of put two and two together.
But again,
I wasn't able to, but
I guess
I'm a simpleton, but I avoided all previews and everything. Yeah, I was trying
to
guess.
Maybe it's because I saw that little spoiler ahead of time.
I mean, you could, yes, was it one of the characters in the movie I was trying to guess, but I didn't necessarily know, so it was a surprise to me. It wasn't like a huge reveal, like oh my god, but I was like, oh, okay.
Well, you go in, I think for me, I didn't read much about it either. I didn't know who this guy was, but going in, I was like, okay, how do all these characters relate?
Right.
You know, there's probably a son or a daughter, or you know, like, okay, they're gonna relate somehow. And I
knew
that guy was gonna be related to Skywalker or somebody, you know what I mean? Like, you. And again, like, I go in knowing that, okay, I'm probably, that's probably going to be revealed in some way, and it's not really going to be that big of a surprise, but I don't see how you could do that many big surprises. I mean, people are looking for that. It's a Star Wars movie. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, again, like you're saying, the reveal of Han Solo, you kind of saw it coming, right? I mean, you knew, okay, when they land on that ship, it was like, okay, these aren't the bad guys, so this is probably, and the way they introduce him is just nerd heaven. Okay, here's the way he comes in is like, which that kind of scene, I think, is one of the weakest for me in that movie.
Well, it fell a little flat because they played that scene in a lot of trailers.
Oh, where he's saying the line,
"We're home,
Chewie, we're home,
Chewie, we're home."
Yeah,
like, you know, that fell a little flat for me as well, because I think because we had seen that.
Well, I think I'm just talking about the whole scene in general, where the monsters get loose and
it didn't work for me.
It was like, I think it was one of the weaker moments of the film
uh-huh.
for me. That being said, it's still it's still like, I'm not saying it's like, oh, that was horrible. It was just like, eh.
What'd you think about the performances of the old characters coming in? General Leia.
I thought it was pretty rough.
Han, Chewie.
I thought Harrison Ford was pretty rough at first. I got to be honest. I thought he was landed on a little thick. But then it worked as it went on. It was a little rough for me when he first came on.
Yeah.
I was okay. Have you seen Harrison Ford's recent work? This was one of his better pieces of his. I'm sorry. I love Harrison Ford. It's tough to say.
Are you talking
that.
About Sabrina?
Oh,
Sabrina was.
That's actually probably halfway decent. No, I'm talking maybe a Firewall or
Firewall.
What's the movie where the general manager, that baseball movie? That's actually pretty good. Let's not crawl down the 42? Wormhole. 42.
No, that's all this show is about. This is all podcast.
Oh, gosh, that was awful.
He plays that baseball. Anyway,
that
so
movie
no,
was terrible.
I agree with Camaro Kev that. He came on, and I was like, whoa, this is going to be way over the top. But then he righted it, and it totally worked for me, especially when they got to the planet, and they that little gal, whatever.
The creature.
Yeah, then they started hitting it off without a beat. I love that he picked up Chewie's bowcaster or whatever.
I thought that was kind of cool. Like he's never
pretty cool.
picked it up
yeah,
before.
Yeah, exactly.
He finally
uses
it. And he's like, "Oh shit, this is a great weapon."
Yeah, I think that's a good job by JJ. Just something simple that it's like you don't have to be over the top. But that in itself, I think most people get kind of a chuckle out.
Yeah, you know?
So that's a good subtle good job there.
Now there's a fair amount of like planetary battle scenes, and then you know. Vice versa, there's space battles as well.
Yeah.
And I felt like he really nailed it with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're like the on the ground battles, like they weren't just chock full of all sorts of shit that was trying to get packed into there.
Yeah.
Like the prequels did, you know? It was like smaller,
kind of contained
battles that were taking place on like wooded planets and stuff like that, and like kind of almost like a Hoth planet too, which I thought was really cool.
You know, he must have been pretty aware of that because
if
you watch those prequels, they just love a mass of just like video game nonsense going on. You look at this like Battlefield, and it's just a bunch of movements, but you could tell it's all CG generated nonsense going on. That's a good point because I was thinking when I watched Return of the Jedi. When they were the Ewoks battle the stormtroopers on Endor or whatever, at no point do you sense like the stormtroopers are this like millions of dudes. It's always just like little pockets and groups of them. You know what
it's
I mean?
Like two or three platoons.
Yeah.
That's I really enjoyed that. And then the space battles too. Like the ships looked really good. Like again, like everything looked used.
Well, and everything looked like the original movie.
Yes.
That was also the problem with the prequels was he decided to just
changed it too
completely
much.
Completely like, okay, this is going to be, these ships are going to be way cooler. We're going to make them like the big mirror ship or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, look, it's an X-Wing fighter, a little bit different. I can't really tell. It's maybe different colors and maybe a few more things are streamlined. But it was basically the same Rebel ships that they've always had, you know?
Yeah,
he did. He did well with the new stormtroopers as well.
Yeah,
I think
they're slightly different.
Changed them a little bit, but not.
But it was okay.
Those prequels, putting a fin on top. What does a fin do on top of somebody's helmet? What is the point of having a fin, a shark fin, on top of your goddamn helmet?
Sharks are badass, bro.
Sharks with lasers. Yeah. He took it from Austin Powers.
And don't even get me started on in the prequels those stupid robots that are the first like.
Oh yeah,
failed. You know, like Roger, or whatever those little things. Are so God. Like yeah. so bad. Yeah. But
BB-8, the new droid,
totally worked for me.
Nailed it. He nailed it.
Totally worked.
Yeah,
He's cute enough, and there's no language. So
you
know, he's not cracking wise throughout the movie. He's just chirping.
He's totally R2 2.0 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But its own kind of. Thing going on.
Uh-huh.
I was afraid it was going to be like, okay, here's the R2 unit that's just going to replace. And he did to somewhat, but I thought it worked. I thought it totally worked.
Yeah,
like I totally bought it.
Yeah, and I loved. I loved Poe as the ace starfighter, you know, of the movie. I thought that was a really good touch. You know, he doesn't have any force behind him or anything like that. He's just a really damn good pilot, like Han Solo was.
Yeah.
You know? Let's see. What else do you guys want to hit on this movie?
There was a few things that were a little on the nose for me.
Like what?
The whole Nazi-ish scene of the stormtroopers.
Very World War II-esque.
I liked the idea of Kylo Ren and whoever the commander was kind of...
Butting heads
and trying to appease the leader.
Well, that's kind of how Darth Vader butt heads with Grand Moff Tarkin.
Don't ever say that again to me ever. But go ahead, keep
going.
I don't know. It's just the fact that rolled off your tongue just like it was like everyone knows his full fucking name.
the first time you really meet Darth Vader, he is choking out another a general who is like, you know, your sorcerous ways won't work with the military.
Right,
basically.
Right. Yeah, it's the whole hokey religion and sorcerer versus a military man or whatever. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So I like the
idea. I guess that wasn't Grand Moff Tarkin. Somebody's going to send me an email.
sad devotion to that ancient religion.
Yeah, exactly. There it was, right there.
I liked that there were like two younger guys and they're trying to get the new emperor. That's another thing. I wasn't into that new emperor. So
I was
far
glad to see that emperor who was towering above was actually just like a computer generated, like he
too.
Was Skyping in.
It was like the new version of the projector sort of communication.
I thought it would have been really stupid if he was actually that tall.
Well, I thought it was, here we go with a Marvel-esque bad guy, because it seems like every Marvel movie now has a big, tall, godlike guy who's commanding, you know, from afar.
Yeah.
And so when I saw him sitting up there and he was CG, I went, oh no. But then when he flickered and went away, I was like, oh, he might be Yoda-sized. We don't know.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
just a projection of him. Yeah. So I'm hoping they go that route. But the whole competition between those two, Kylo Ren and the dude, I was like, okay.
See, I kind of like
it. I get it. It was
like
fine.
That. Yeah.
I wasn't into the actor, the redheaded guy that was.
Oh, really?
He just laid it on a little
thick. He wasn't great.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree. He wasn't great.
Laid it on a little thick. And he was the one that did the whole Nazi sort of, like, he was up there, did the big speech, right?
The big speech in front of all the troops.
That didn't work for me so much.
Yeah, I don't know if that worked for me as well. I don't know if I have too much to say about that, though.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It
didn't work for me, but it was a small
part.
This is
very nitpicky.
Sure. Yeah, very nitpicky. Sure.
Yeah.
What else do you have anything else that kind of... You said there were a couple things that hit it too close to the nose in the movie.
Oh, man.
Thunder.
I don't know now. For me, it was just like, you're just kind of hitting me over the head. I get it. They're like the Nazis, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The same, even a little bit when they had the first attack on the village and they were burning everything. And it was like, okay, you know, like, these guys are ruthless. I get it. You know, I don't
just
know.
Just kill everybody.
It was a little too... in Star Wars, I don't know, the Empire was pretty ruthless, but they weren't... I know he, again, used the Nazis to pattern the stormtroopers and all that stuff after, but there was still... It wasn't that hard for me. It wasn't that real. Like burning villages and
well,
you know,
and that's,
all that
that's,
stuff.
It's, I mean, you know, that's the times have changed as and people expect to see a lot more bloody, you know, just total ruthlessness out of the villains in a movie too.
I mean, he hit all the notes. He did his own version of the creature cantina. Mos Eisley.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was all right.
I thought that was really well done. The creatures in the cantina were really cool. A lot of them were all, you know, puppets.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of them were taken from the original. This is what I heard.
Really?
The original cantina scenes that were not used.
Huh.
So a lot of those were original Star Wars characters.
Hmm.
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. For me, it just felt like he was like, okay, there's a few things I have to do.
Right.
And one of
them
is my own version of the cantina.
Yeah.
And one of them is, you know, I don't know, some of that stuff was like, okay, whatever. But again, didn't take anything away from the movie. It was still really fun. It was bizarre to me that they were like, okay, we got to go to this lady and ask her. She's going to help us. That's where Han takes him.
Uh-huh.
And they walk into this. There's no spaceships outside. There's nothing. It's just a castle. They walk inside, and it's this whole cantina party thing going on.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I know what we do. Let's go someplace where everyone can see us, and everybody can talk about us, and everybody can... You know what I mean? Like, they walked in, they're like, oh, look, it's Han Solo, and it's the BB-8 that everyone's after. And then immediately someone called and said, hey, they're here, come get them.
Yeah.
It was like, why would you go to a place populated with people that would sell you for anything?
Right.
This is kind of weird.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing with the first movie, though, when they go to the cantina in that movie. You know, if there's somebody looking for two droids, why show up at a frickin', you know,
yeah, but in that movie,
hotbed of scum and villainy?
Yeah, but in this movie, they kind of set it up like everybody's looking for this BB-8.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
even
sure.
Remember the guys that came onto Han Solo's ship? Again, the scene I wasn't crazy about where, for whatever reason, there was one down one hallway and one group down one other hallway, and they just stopped and yelled at each other from that far away.
Yeah.
And Han Solo's in the middle. I didn't really get the staging of that. I was like, can they not go any further? And
yeah.
And just so happened that these guys entered this one way and they entered this other
that
way.
That had almost like a Guardians of the Galaxy kind
it
of feel to it.
Did
you know,
have a
where
Guardians.
it was a little bit of comedy, like, yeah, oh, yeah. Look at the situation we're in.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of like that kind of feel to it, which was a little, you know, it was a little too much for me. And that goes back to like kind of using humor in violent situations,
yeah,
which is apparent in a lot of these like sci-fi movies now.
And then so in that scene, they go like, look, there's a BB-8 that looks very familiar to the BB or
right,
whatever.
Right,
and then
yeah.
He was like, you know, it's not. And then I thought, well, you hid the other guys. Why didn't you hide the robot with them? Did I miss something there? Was it like they couldn't put them down in? I was like, wouldn't that be like the main thing you'd hide would be the robot?
Right.
Because you remember Finn and Rey hid in the... You know, in the bottom of it. Or, why wouldn't you put the robot in there with them?
Exactly.
But
that's a good point.
Maybe I missed something there.
Newman, anything that you had like big gripes with the film at all?
No.
Yeah.
I thought it was a solid film. They did the Force well. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they did the lightsaber battle well.
They did that well. Pretty memorable. The scene where she's spelunking or whatever, the super...
Spelunking?
Thank you, the super star destroyer or whatever.
I love that. I love it.
I mean, there's some cool scenes in there, shots that are real, or at least half that scene in the desert was real. Then she looks down that cavern, was pretty intense.
That's pretty cool.
You know,
I thought it was.
We didn't really talk about this. I thought it was a pretty solid 3D movie.
Oh yeah. 3D.
I thought it was done well.
Fantastic.
J.J. Abrams doesn't fuck around with that stuff.
No, he filmed it in 3D too, right?
I don't know. But either way, if it's, they can do the
conversion has gotten better.
Yeah, it's gotten better. And if it's somebody who cares like J.J. Abrams, like Star Trek, the second one had really good 3D.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's why I bought it.
You can say whatever you want about the plot itself, but it's got really good 3D. I mean, what is it? Bad Robot and whatever his company is.
They
do a really good job with that stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder. I had heard that there were some scenes filmed in IMAX, like with using IMAX cameras.
I would imagine they did. Like
I didn't
especially
see it,
like the scenes where they're doing like what do you call it? It's on the planet, but. It's an air fight, you know, where they're flying around the planet.
Yes.
And Poe shows up with the X-wings and they're like hovering over the
lake
and stuff. That was fucking rad.
That was cool. The shot too
where when the TIE fighters first come down to Jakku or whatever, when they have to leave, and it's the shot of the sun and you can see them coming.
Yeah,
I saw online they put that right next to a shot from
2001.
No,
or
it was. Vietnam movie with
Platoon?
No. God damn.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. They put it side by side with the helicopters coming in.
Yeah.
And it's a total like throwback to that.
Yeah.
But it's pretty badass seeing like the TIE fighters in like you know, silhouette form up against coming down. It's like pretty menacing, man.
Totally.
That was a pretty cool shot, I thought.
I thought it was a solid movie.
I
need to see it. I need to see it again.
Yes.
So I have to. I'm totally going to see it again too. And here's where does it rank amongst the Star Wars movies?
Yeah. Ooh, that's
Someone
a really
asked me
good
that.
Question, man.
Someone asked me that, and I had to think about it.
Ooh, where does it rank? Well, I think for me, the original series, the original three, will always be better than everything else for me. I think. I would put it, you know, fourth on the list.
I put it
where it stands.
I would probably put it fourth
in the series,
but it's duking it out with Return, dude. Return gets a little worse every time I see it.
Really?
There's some bad dialogue scenes. There's some bad stuff in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, but I love, and you know, the Ewoks. I was still young enough that the Ewoks did not bother me.
Me too.
And a lot of people have a lot of problems with the Ewoks, and I've never really gotten that.
I don't get that either.
I don't get how they would be able to really fight the stormtroopers. I get that argument.
Hey, bro,
really sharp rocks.
Yeah.
Armor piercing rocks.
Yeah,
yeah. But it doesn't bother me, and I love the look of the scout troopers and everybody on Endor. Yeah. The speeder bike scenes and stuff. Just, oh man, they're so fucking good. And the walkers in the woods and everything like that. I love that movie.
I like Return of the Jedi too. I was just
Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, that's good man. Stuff. Too.
I mean, come on. That's great.
It's apples and oranges. I don't think it's fair to compare. I couldn't compare them.
You have to, though. Han Solo and Luke Skywalker are in this movie.
Yeah.
They are a part of that universe.
I think it ranks fourth.
Princess Leia.
Because it's fourth in the series, and it's newer. I still have to have time with it. Because, I mean, I've seen the original movies like thousands and thousands of times, probably.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know.
I can't decide. Yet.
There's some stuff in Return that's just still it's like it's a little rough.
Well,
man.
let's be honest. I mean, you know, Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher were not the best actors.
Yeah,
you know,
and there's just a lot of 80-yard awkward dialogue scenes in Return of the Jedi. I've never noticed as a kid, but
really?
As an adult. There's just the whole shot when Lando and Han are talking, and he was like, you know, I'll take care of her for you, and he's like, not a scratch. That whole thing is 80-yard, and it's in front of some weird.
That's Empire.
Screed. No, it's in Return of the Jedi when he's leaving.
Oh, when he's taking it. Yeah.
Even the scene when they're running over what they're gonna do, their plans. And then Luke shows up, and they all hug, and then and then C-3PO's like, you know, exciting is hardly the word I would use, R2,
oh,
or whatever.
Yeah,
this whole
yeah.
And it's like this weird. It's just like,
well, that's his character kinda, though. He's just kind of a cheese.
I'm
ball,
not saying
right?
him, I'm just saying that scene when you know, and it's this whole thing Han's like being snide about like, well, you know, that's not going to work, and then they announce that he's going to be doing the raid on Endor. It's just it's like, God, this is not good. It's not it's not written very well. They're not. I don't know. It's just kind of
they come in the like Luke shows up in the like middle of a meeting, like, with generals and stuff, and everybody's like, oh, hold on a second, let's play some light music and hug and kiss and say hi, how you been?
Yeah,
kind of thing. That is a pretty terrible.
But you're right. But then you start to talk about Jabba and how iconic is. And
yeah.
There's some good stuff.
The imagery
in
that movie in Return of the Jedi is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. This one was pretty solid, man.
It's a solid movie. Newman, you've already said that you really liked it. What do you guys think? Last scene in the movie, you finally see Luke.
Again, maybe that was another one of the ones that was a little too on the nose for me.
Yeah, it was like, a little on the nose.
Yeah, it was like,
but I felt it set up the next one.
Yeah,
very, very.
And
well.
Then when they did the classic helicopter shot,
that kind of bugged me a little bit.
Really, he went to the Highlander shot, or the Braveheart shot,
right,
you know what I mean, like somebody on the mountain, and it's a long photo lens helicopter shot, and in the background speeding by. I was like, wow, he really went there, but whatever.
He used the side swipes and the weird fade outs
and
stuff between scenes, which was great.
Didn't overly use them. Like, I didn't even notice them. Yeah.
All the scenes in like the new Empire, the First Order's ships and everything like that conjured feelings from old movies, like the elongated kind of rounded lights, everything like that. You know, everything looked great.
Yeah.
I think it looked a lot like it was, you know, it was something. It wasn't just out of left field. It was like, okay, it's been 30 years since the Empire, and they just improved upon what already existed, you know. So, you know, I thought the whole experience was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was well done. It was really well done.
So,
it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. Many of your audience might not listen to my show, but JD We always talk about how dead inside I am, but my
you know
co-host,
what? Instead
JD,
of instead of talking with Andrew Walsh coming up, I should have talked with him about it because he really does not like Star Wars.
He's so angry. He was like, "I can't deal with these young guys in my where he works." He was "All they do is fucking talk about this goddamn Star Wars all day." So he was really like, and he's seeing it tomorrow at 3. So
that's funny,
Newman. What are the chances that this guy's going to be satisfied with this movie?
Zero.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to believe.
He's not a big J.J. Abrams fan in the first place. He did like the Star Treks. But...
Yeah. If you want to find fault in this and have a closed mind, you're not going to like there. You can. So. That's what I wonder. I hope he likes it. I don't know. It really is a solid movie.
Yeah.
I think you have to try not to at least say, oh, that was entertaining, decent, at worst.
I mean, the thing is there's certain things the guy is going to have to do with this movie.
Right.
And he did it pretty damn well.
Yeah. I think he did a solid job. I'm a little nervous that they're changing directors for the second one.
But they did that with the...
they did it with the old ones. Nah, yeah, but that, you know...
JJ fucked up Into Darkness, so...
everyone says that. But remember, he fucked up the second Star Trek, so... so maybe... But he's still going to... I mean, obviously...
He'll still have his hands on it.
I think he's writing it with Kasdan or whatever. It's going to be the same writer, I think. Yeah, so they're going to have to keep the story... You know, they had a plan of where this whole thing's going to go.
Oh, sure.
You know, so I think he's going to be a big part of that, but...
Yeah. How long do we have to wait? For the next one? Is it another 2 years?
And who is...
It's probably another 2 years.
Who is the next director, by the way?
I have no idea. It's probably the guy who directed Rush Hour 2.
No, it's the guy that did Looper.
Oh.
Looper's pretty damn good.
That's a solid flick. But then he did Inception as well, right? Isn't that the same guy?
No, that's... What's his name?
Okay.
Christopher Nolan.
Oh, right, Inception. Okay.
The third one is done by the guy that did... God bless... It's on the tip of my tongue now. I can't think of it. Damn it. I can't believe I'm doing that. You're going to have to edit this out. Shit. I just read it the other day. I was like, yee.
Oh, really?
It was something that I wasn't too into.
What Mel Brooks.
The third one. Yeah, right? God damn it. Why can't I think of this?
By the way, I just saw that they confirmed Spaceballs 2.
Shut up.
Yeah. Just saw it online today. I didn't verify, but I'm pretty excited about that. Well, we got to wrap this. We got to wrap this up, man.
I know there's listeners out there going, "You dumbass!" Or yelling.
I'm already prepared to get some really shitty emails on this one. So, we're gonna go to a musical break, and then when we come back, we're gonna be talking with Andrew Walsh of the TBTL podcast and his new show, which you guys should check out, called After These Messages. And we'll be talking with Andrew about a number of topics and some Star Wars. you can check out Stack of Dimes, which is one of my favorite shows on the planet. That Thunder does.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, once in a while. Do you guys have an episode coming out?
Oh, we don't. Soon? You're talking like we still do that show.
I love that show, man. Your last episode just had me fucking rolling.
I'm hoping we get something out after the first of the year. Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty rough with the holidays, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's I, you know, on that note, thank you guys both for joining me on this. It's been a pleasure.
Indeed.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. All right, guys. Andrew Walsh, the reason I wanted to have you on the show to talk to this about to talk Star Wars with you is because we were texting a couple months ago, and I was super excited about one of the previews that were coming out for the Force Awakens, and I wanted to talk about it with somebody, and you came to my mind because I just thought you fit the bill for a Star Wars fanatic. Number
you mean
one,
kind of like sexy build, very popular with the ladies. That kind of person.
Would you like me to go down the list of why I thought you would be way into Star Wars?
No, but it sounds like you're going to do it.
It is my show, Walsh. So number one, your sexy build definitely came into the fold.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah, I do like this list.
You wear glasses. Let's see, number three, you're way into, you know, like old Janine Garofalo.
Wait, hold on. Not like old lady Janine Garofalo.
No.
As far as you know, I've never written any fan fiction about an elderly Janine Garofalo.
I'm talking like early 90s Janine Garofalo.
Right.
Okay. And then, fourth and final, not least, you do a podcast for your day job, so I just figured, like, you know, you would be into Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no beef with Star Wars.
Yeah, but when I texted you, you were just like, oh, this is not something I'm into.
Well, yeah, you texted me, did you text me something about the little ball droid thing?
I don't think it was specifically about the ball droid.
I just assumed. It seemed like early in the buzz for these, you know, when they were releasing these new Star Wars trailers and everything, it seemed like there was a lot of excitement about the little droid that's a ball.
The BB-8.
Yes, right.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a new thing.
Yeah, the little ball droid looks really cool to me. So again, like, I don't know. God, I hope I'm not like just destroying the premise of your thing. Like, I want to make it very clear that, like, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. But, you know, I guess I'm looking forward to seeing this movie, in all honesty. No, I guess I'm looking forward to seeing it a little bit more than I was excited to see the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie. I think that, like, I'm aware of Star Wars and, you know, the Star Wars legacy more than the Star Trek legacy. I never really got into Star Trek at all. I understand there's something about a Borg going on, and I keep on trying to get my girlfriend to explain it to me, and I never understand it. Star Wars, like, I enjoyed it as a kid, but I was never anybody who waited in line for the reboots or, I guess, the prequels or whatever. I don't have this huge head of steam about it, but I'm really excited to know that people are going to the theater and are being, you know, pleasantly entertained by this movie. It sounds like the hardcore fans are really, really into it and are happy with what they've seen at the theater so far. And that bodes well for me, a guy who just, like, really likes to eat popcorn and watch, you know, spaceships go pew pew.
Sure. See, I was of the mind that you just weren't, like, you didn't like Star Wars almost at all.
Yeah, see, I'm worried about this. Is this all garbage now? Am I not going to be on your podcast now?
No, not at all, man.
All right.
Yeah. We got a
I am looking forward to it. So I'm going to see it. Genevieve, my girlfriend, and I are going to go see the movie on Christmas.
Okay.
We have our tickets. We're going to see it at 3:30 in the afternoon at the Arclight Dome. I'm giving you a lot of information in case you do want to stalk me. I invite stalkers, especially if you're an octogenarian Janine Garofalo. That's
right.
Where I'll be on Christmas Day. By the way, we didn't realize that it's in 3D, the screening we're going to. Is that, I assume that you've already seen it, right?
Yes. Yeah, I saw it. I saw it with Camaro Kev and Newman the other night. And it was, I got to say, it was fantastic.
Did you see it in 3D?
And we saw it in 3D, yeah. I'm a big 3D guy. You probably know this about Camaro Kev, but he's also big into the 3D.
I had a feeling, because he's into the kind of, like, the, I don't know, what's the right word to put it? Like, kind of the, well, he's really into Blu-ray. I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say. He's into the kind of latest techie kind of ways of watching movies.
Yeah, totally. And then, you know, when VR comes out, we'll be on board with that as well.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know what? Somebody today asked me if we were going to see the Star Wars movie in 4D. Are they? I mean, I've heard of 4D as a concept where not only are you watching it with the glasses and it's three-dimensional,
right?
But also, like, the chairs shake and maybe there's some mist or something that they spray on the crowd.
No, it's all, person, it's mostly just surrounded by smell. You just say, like,
God,
they...
no, you're, that's not true, is it?
Yeah, yeah, totally. They put a tube up your nose. It's like one of those little things that fit into both nostrils, and it blows in smells. So, like, when, you know, when there's, like, you're in the desert sands, like, it blows, like, small bits of sand into your nose.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what is the worst movie to see in 4D, if that's the case? Like Gummo? I don't know.
Yeah, Gummo, the bathtub scene will ruin
it. Right, right. Just that, this, the wafts of dirty bathtub water mixed in with a little bit of oregano and marinara sauce.
And a candy bar. Like, isn't there like a Snickers bar in there or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 4D.
Yeah,
for the win.
It's the wave of the future, my friend.
I wasn't joking about the person who asked me if we were going to be watching it in 4D, though. Have you?
Well,
I always heard that was something that was going to be coming out someday. I didn't think it was out now.
Well, I know that back in the 50s, they used to do that in theaters where they would have buzzers under the seats where it would, like, during horror movies, they would buzz you, like during scary parts, you know?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Very apparent in the movie if you watch a matinee with, what's his name? The big guy from Roseanne. Why can't I think of his name?
John Goodman?
John Goodman, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that did exist. I don't know if it does anymore, though. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. See, that's kind of the problem with my... Again, I don't have negative feelings about Star Wars, but I have a huge lack of knowledge about it, so
right.
I can't tell when somebody's just being sarcastic with me and pulling my leg a little bit.
So I am a little interested, though, is how you didn't get highly obsessed with this movie. Like, you know, because we're about the same age. I am highly obsessed with the Star Wars universe. I own toys. I own, like, memorabilia. All that stuff lies in boxes up in my attic space. How did you skate away from, you know, becoming kind of a Star Wars obsessed nerd?
Well, this is the point where I would love to make a joke about, well, sorry, Roden, but I was too busy kissing girls. But as you and I both know, that's not the truth. And
that's why I'm
sure
so perplexed.
I always admire people who really nerd out on something, yet I never actually really hardcore nerded out on anything of my own. And it's very strange that I still, to this day, as a 39-year-old, have this sort of envy for people who, whether it was baseball cards, like, I would go through phases where I would imitate other people's obsessions. Like, I tried to go through a baseball card phase, but guess what, Roden? I didn't watch baseball. Like, I didn't know who any of the people were, but I'm just like, oh, it's 1989, and I have the new Donruss pack.
Yeah.
I think that was a thing. Yeah. And I would get some magazine that was supposed to be like a baseball card magazine, but I didn't even watch the sport. I went through a period where I would buy some comic books, and I still do go through that period every now and then,
uh-huh,
where I'll go to a comic book store and kind of buy a bunch, but then I will not buy one for like 10 years. Like, I love going into a comic book shop and seeing everybody. Sometimes you go to them around here and there will be like a bunch of nerds kind of drawing their own comics or playing Magic the Gathering at another comic book store I go to here.
Yeah.
And I look at them, I'm just like, oh, I love that you're geeking out on this so much. But I just kind of never had my own kind of thing like that. I would try to imitate it, but I never locked on to anything.
Huh. Well,
I don't know why.
I share that experience with you with the baseball card thing. That's
did
for
you
sure.
Did you do the same thing? Were you kind of a baseball card poser?
Oh yeah, incredibly
so. Embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah, and it got to the point where I had all these baseball cards and I just didn't know what to do with them, and so I traded them for a box of comic books. And
there
and,
you go.
Yeah, and then the kid who I traded it to, our moms worked together at the hospital, turns out I gave him like a Nolan Ryan rookie card.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah. And I don't know how I got it. And maybe the kid was lying, come to think of it, because I don't know how I would have had a Nolan Ryan rookie card, but they told me that. And they told me, you know, it was worth a lot of money. And all I got was a bunch of G.I. Joe comic books.
I had a couple of those. You know, the comic books that I had that I really geeked out on was they were from my neighbor's parents or maybe the eldest daughter of our next door neighbor. I grew up in the country, and so I'm a kid in like the year is like 1986.
Right.
And we got a big box full of 10-year-old mostly Archie comic books. So there were all these Archies, and this, I mean, just we probably had 100 of them.
Yeah.
With some of the Archie spinoffs in there as well, like I don't know, there were comic books based just on the Archies, the band. You remember they created a band? Josie and the Pussycats was another band related comic book. They had like I had all the different kind of spinoffs, and they were all like 10 to 15 years kind of before me, before my time, and I would just sit in the basement and read those. But again, like that's not the quintessential comic book nerd. You know what I mean? I'm supposed to be collecting a Radioactive Man or whatever, but instead I'm reading like my next door neighbor's older sister's Archie comic books from 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, nice Simpsons reference at least.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. So you're not a big nerdy guy. Although I do know that you do nerd out about like wires and stuff from Radio Shack.
That is true. If I landed kind of on anything, and this would have been in my kind of let's call it mid-pubescence, because that doesn't make anybody lose their appetite. when I was in my mid-pubescence, I kind of really got into the audio visual game. So to speak, and I think that all happened when somehow I ended up with two VCRs. I remember when I was a kid, there were certain families that had two VCRs, and they put those things up, and they were able to make copies of the movies that they rented from the local store.
Oh,
and so you'd go over to somebody's house, and they'd have a whole collection of like kind of bootlegged copies of, you know, Top Gun and Harry and the Hendersons and all kinds of stuff. You're like, oh my God, I want to make my own library.
Right.
So somehow, I don't know if I bought a used one or what it was, but I bought a second VCR. And then I hooked them up, and this is probably not interesting at all, but I remember the moment that I discovered, wait a second, there's an audio cord that you connect from one VCR to the other, and there's a video cord that you connect from one VCR to another.
Oh, wait, so you just had video and no audio?
No. So I had both of them connected,
okay.
But then I made the realization, wait, if I take the audio cord and I interrupt it with something else, so for example, if I take the audio cord and plug that into my boombox, then I
there
can take the video from one VCR to the other, but I can overlay Pearl Jam on top of that shit, and like, holy crap, I just made a little, I think one of the first things I did was I took like something, this was like the, I guess, early 90s, I guess, I found some video of like the Muppets playing music, and then instead of recording the real audio, I somehow interjected or interrupted the audio feed and made them play Metallica instead.
That which, is
again,
genius!
I know, yeah. Really cool. Again,
that's genius.
Had to give up a lot of girl kissing time to get this done. But that was the moment where I was kind of like, oh, an audio chain. And then I went out and I got myself a Radio Shack mixer, and then I started kind of mixing the various audio sources, and then a nerd was born.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So let's say you walk into Radio Shack somewhere in Barstow, because that's probably the only one that exists now. So you walk into the Barstow Radio Shack, and they're selling a regular Radio Shack Mini to Mini, and then right next to it is a Star Wars Mini to Mini. Which one do you grab?
Can we just luxuriate in this for a while? Can you describe the Star Wars Mini to Mini for me, please?
Okay,
slowly and breathily.
On the package of the Mini to Mini, it has a Darth Vader mask on it. Okay?
That's it?
You're following?
I'm following. I'm trying to figure out if that's the beginning or the beginning, middle, and end.
No, it's a white Mini to Mini.
Okay.
And on one side of the Mini to Mini, like the head, has a Imperial symbol on it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, it has a Rebel symbol on it. Do you know what those symbols are?
No, I mean, but I believe you that they exist.
Okay.
You know what I'm picturing? No shit. I'm picturing the Robotron and Decepticon and What were the two symbols of the Transformers?
Decepticon and Autobots.
Autobot, yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, okay. So you're a Transformers nerd. Okay, we've established
that. Yeah, clearly, I can't even...
We've established that. Right. So which one do you buy? Do you buy the Star Wars one or do you buy the regular one? Now, the Star Wars one costs $6 more.
Even if it was $3 less, I wouldn't buy that one because I think it's junkier. I think it's all about marketing. You don't need a Star Wars themed mini to mini. You just don't. I mean, I will appreciate the marketing effort and I will maybe look at the package because I do like toys. But no, there's no way I'm buying that mini to mini. I'm spending any extra money on something that I believe would be an inferior product.
Okay. So next question.
Okay.
There is a regular Coffee Mate bottle. Okay. Coffee Mate makes creamers for your coffee.
Okay.
There's a regular one that says peppermint splash or whatever it is, and then there's one that has C-3PO's face on the bottle. Peppermint splash. Which one do you buy? Same price.
Same exact product?
Same exact product, same price.
I assume that you don't care that I drink my coffee black. I assume that that's missing the point of this exercise.
Yeah, it is totally missing the point.
I love you, Aaron. I would if I did buy that product, if it's the same exact stuff inside, sure, I'll buy the one that looks like a toy. Why not?
You buy the one that looks like C-3PO.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm totally confused. I don't know how to think about this at all.
All I know is like when I'm done with this interview, I'm going to probably be pouring Coffee Mate into a VCR and asking myself why.
Or plugging a mini to mini into the Coffee Mate bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You've really done a number on me, Roden.
And that's actually a true thing. Coffee Mate has, this is one thing that's been bugging me a little bit, is all the marketing that's been going into it has been kind of rubbing me the wrong way with
that.
That
is
with
so interesting because I'm really into it. I think it's really,
really?
Like, while I am not a huge Star Wars nerd in any way, I've really, as a bit of an outsider, but generally game, I've been really kind of enjoying this cultural moment. I feel like some cultural moments I find pretty annoying, and this one I just sort of find charming. I feel like it's bringing generations together. I love seeing the happy people my age who are kind of giving me a chance to, I don't know if reliving their childhood is putting too fine a point on it, but certainly reliving some great memories and then bringing their children into this culture that they love. And you have the people who are intensely Star Wars focused and the people who just kind of are nostalgic about it. And it's affecting all those people. And I've really enjoyed all the commercials on TV. I think they're pretty clever.
I'll tell you one of the best ones has been the Duracell one. Where the two kids...
Is there more than one?
I don't know. I've only seen one of them, and there's two kids, and they got lightsabers for Christmas, and then the boy like runs out and saves his sister.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
From the
stormtroopers.
Do you know
that there were a couple of spoilers in that ad that people were pissed about?
What kind of spoilers?
The first one, I guess the one spoiler and one kind of glimpse into the future. The spoiler I'm a little confused about because I don't know my Star Wars lore enough, and my girlfriend Genevieve was explaining it to me, but there was some question as to whether or not one of those characters was actually a Jedi or not, and people didn't know yet how these characters were going to align themselves in the movie. But because the boy at some point refers to his sister as a Jedi or vice versa, apparently the nerdiverse got like just blew that out of proportion. They were really upset about the spoiler. And then also C-3PO has a red arm in that, and as a guy who has not seen the new movie yet, I'm like, dude's got a red arm, what's up with that?
Right. Yeah, that doesn't really play into anything.
Really?
Not really.
The red arm.
No, I mean, yeah, the red arm, he has a red arm in the movie, but that's about it.
It's never explained?
Not really.
You're not shitting me?
No.
What happens then at the end? Is there anything that happens in the Ewok
I'm
movie that would explain the red arm?
No. I don't think so.
That seems weird to me.
Well, I mean, a lot of time has passed.
Maybe his servos had
gone out in the normal arm, and he got a new red arm to replace it. Or maybe that's part of the lore with the comic books and everything like that that I have not read.
I see. And of course, a lot of time has passed because you have, you know, Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. Like, obviously, they're not the same age they were with Return of the Jedi. So
no,
I
if
guess
they
we're
tried
talking
to,
about.
Yeah. If they tried to play that off where it was like a year later and all of a sudden Carrie Fisher is way past menopause, I mean, that makes no sense.
So what is it kind of real time in this? Is it like kind of 30 years has passed, basically?
Yes.
And it's kind of like, hey, who knows? In 30 years, maybe R2-D2 just wanted some skin art or whatever you call it for an android.
Yeah, he's got a face tattoo that rivals Mike Tyson's. Yeah.
Now I really want to see this movie.
Well, Andrew Walsh, it has been a pleasure, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. Again, I hope I didn't blow the whole thing. I think you need to call somebody who really dislikes Star Wars now.
Well, we got the first part of the episode. We're talking with Camaro Kev and possibly Newman.
Okay.
So, you know, we've got a whole TBTL universe thing going on here with the Star Wars universe. We're going to try to cross the streams.
Ooh, I like that. I thought you're not supposed to cross streams, though.
That might be a Spaceballs thing, I guess. I'm not really sure. Ghostbusters. Okay, well, oh, it was Ghostbusters.
You know
okay.
What? Live long and prosper. That's all I have to say.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Let's see. You've got TBTL going on. You've got your new show called After These Messages, where you and Genevieve talk about advertisements.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug. Check it out.
Yeah,
don't
it's a great
download
show.
The wrong After These Messages. This is what a good spokesperson I am. Some other dude has a podcast called After These Messages, but it's like 6 minutes long, and you don't need that in your life. You need to listen to us. Look for the one that's got Genevieve and my name on it.
Yeah, look for the episodes that are 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And all about Count Chocula.
We go, oh man, we do a deep, deep dive on Count Chocula.
I know you
do. That guy, you don't want to even know what's in his past.
Yeah, can I just say, I am like immensely jealous of how well your shows do. And so thanks for talking with me and taking the time, you dick.
Sure, no, obviously always a pleasure. I'm here to serve, Roden, for real. Thanks for having me, it was really fun.
All right, buddy. Have a good night.
Bye now.
Bye. All right, well, there you have it, folks. Andrew Walsh's take on the Star Wars movie before he even sees it. I really thought he did not like the Star Wars universe, so that didn't quite work how I planned it. But, you know, good chat nonetheless. Big thanks to Andrew Walsh of TBTL and now of the new hit podcast. What was it? Message not received? No, After These Messages. Oops. And of course, Newman and good friend Kevin Doddrell of the Stack of Dimes podcast for stopping by earlier in the show. And thank you for listening. Wow. Wow. The music you heard at the midpoint of the show is, of course, Ebu. And the song was called Dissolve. You can check that out. Do a Google search. Get your hands on a copy of this record because it is fantastic. We're also going to go out today with another Ebu song. This will be the last episode until the new year, folks. We got to take some time off, be with family, do that whole thing. So thank you so much for making 2015 a fantastic year in the Air Raid universe. We've had a lot of fun, and we'll be back next year with all new episodes for you. With new musicians, comedians, everybody under the sun in the entertainment industry. You know, bringing you new music and all that good stuff here on the Air Raid podcast. So stay with us, okay? We're going to be gone for, what, 2 weeks? Is that two? Yeah, 2 weeks. Have a Merry Christmas, a very happy holidays, and a very, very happy and safe New Year, okay? All right. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds to leave us a star rating, and it really helps us out in the long run. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio, and Spreaker apps. Check us out on the new Adore Network through Spreaker. It's fantastic. Got a lot of fantastic shows on there. Or you can just visit www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast, or keep in touch with us on Twitter. Our handle is @airraidnet, or you can email me directly, aaron@air-raid.net. Tell me how you listen to the show, if you like it, if you don't like it, you want to see something change, or if you have suggestions for new music to listen to. Actually, send that to our new booker. Her name is Elliot, and she's really helping out quite a bit with this show. You can reach her at booking@air-raid.net, okay? All right, and remember to take the pledge, people. Pledge to tell somebody about the show. Bring it up in conversation. Tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother, your father. We'll even take your cousins. Sign them up for the show when they're not looking, okay? Yeah. All right. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and a very happy new year to all of you out there. We love you so much. So much. Okay? Let's see. Let's do this. Let's go out with the last song of the Air Raid podcast for 2015. This is Ebu. And we actually talked with Ebu a little while back, so you can find that in the archives. All right? Let's see. Let's do this one. Hideaway. Off of their current album. One of my favorites of the year. All right? Yeah. This one's Hideaway by Ebu. And we'll be back in 2016, folks, with all new episodes of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great couple of weeks. Be safe. Love your family. Love you guys. Bye.